Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He is Mike Exisa here on 92.3 The Fan. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We're both doing much better than Major League Baseball currently is. That's just a fact. And I thought you'd put it very well online. I got your Twitter pulled up. I'm scrolling through, and you responding to Mark Saxon's report that a Cardinals player says he wants to play is perfect and right. Can you put that tweet into audio form for the people?
Yeah, I mean, the player, we don't know who it was. The player said, you know, of course he wants to play. They want to play the next game because I think his quote was they don't want everything to crumble down or something like that. But that, I mean, that makes no sense. You can't leave this up to the players because the players are always going to want to play. They're going to want to play no matter what. MLB has to be the adult in the room, and they have to do what's right, what's smart. They can't leave this to the players because the players are always going to want to play. We saw it with the Marlins last week, and they had three players test positive Sunday morning, and they played Sunday afternoon. And that, in hindsight, looks like a disastrous decision. MLB has to take it out of the players' hands. Say, if we have positive tests today, we're shutting down today, and if they think they need to shut down tomorrow, do that too. Don't worry about what the players said because they're just – it's strange, but they're not really going to look out in their best interest. They're just going to want to play baseball, and MLB needs to be kind of the leader here. They have to provide some leadership and say, no, this is not safe. We got to hit pause for a minute here.
I agree. And based off of that, then, can we take the logical leap that if we're going to have to protect players, we're going to have to cancel more games than maybe we'd feel comfortable with? Indians right now, they're going to play the Twins. Twins obviously have contact with those teams. Does that mean that game should also be canceled as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know how else you can safely do this. And I know MLB is testing. They're testing every other day, but there's an incubation period. So, you know, if you're exposed today, you might not necessarily test positive tomorrow. You know, there's a bit of a delay there. And that's kind of the problem with containing this, because you don't know who exactly has it. Even if they test negative, it doesn't mean they don't exactly have it at that moment. And the safest thing to do would be to postpone, you know, the teams that are kind of the bystanders here. We saw it with Miami. They canceled the Yankees games there. Yankees and Orioles were affected there. I think that's the smart way to do that. And you're going to do that, I mean, you're going to have so many games canceled. We're 1 week into the season, and there's going to be six teams not playing tonight. That's 20% of the league 1 week into the season that we had to shut everything down. And I don't know how I really don't know how it's going to continue moving forward, but I feel like if safety is truly the priority here, then yeah, you got to shut down more games whenever there's a little bit of a, you know, I guess two tests on one team is technically not an outbreak, but I mean, geez, that's got to be a red flag.
Of course it's a red flag. I guess the big question then is, do you feel like we can get to a point where you play the regular season, play out the postseason? And really what it would come down to, I think, Mike, is Rob Manfred taking an almost Roger Goodell-esque approach where they just use these guys like they're, you know, fungible, replaceable assets. And, all right, so you don't know the reliever's name. Now all of a sudden you bring up another reliever that you didn't know his name anyway. But he's basically used as a body and a placeholder, which sounds very callous, but it kind of seems to be the approach you're taking.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. And I think Manfred, the exact quote was something like, this isn't a nightmare scenario yet. They will consider canceling the season only when a team or teams lose so many players that the competitive integrity is just destroyed. But, I mean, like I said, six teams are not playing tonight because of this. And the Marlins have lost. They've lost 18 players now, plus two staff members. I mean, what does that do for competitive integrity? I mean, it's pretty much kind of shot now. But apparently they're not ready to call the season yet. I understand that. I don't think they went through all this trouble to start it, only to cancel it a week in. But I think it's kind of really optimistic to think that this is, you know, the Marlins are – they're going to be limited to their 18 cases. That was an isolated incident, and we'll be able to navigate one or two cases each week here. I feel like that's overly optimistic. I think there's going to be many more positive tests throughout the season, and I really don't know what the breaking point is for MLB. I mean, at some point they would have to say we have to shut down and we have to at least hit pause for the entire league for some stretch of time, maybe cancel the season. I don't know what that point is, but we've obviously not hit it yet, even though there's all these tests going on.
Isn't it wild? It's wild that we haven't hit that point yet. Like, we don't know what that point is. I thought it was going to be, if we ever saw 16, 18, if we ever saw a number higher than 7, I thought we were going to have to try to close up shop. And clearly, Rob Manfred, as you said, he doesn't think that's enough. Mike Exceso joining us here, of course, from CBS Sports. He is their baseball writer. Let's talk about on the field. You know, a lot of stuff off the field. Let's talk about on the field. Before we get to Shane Bieber and the Indians rotation, baseball strikeout total is massive right now. And it's a small sample size, and I know we don't love to live in small sample size theater if we're talking big picture baseball stuff, but right now the game has seen a strikeout total that would be its highest in 12 years. And as far as hits, it's the lowest per game in baseball history. I mean, it's brutal right now. Do you account that just being the players not being up to speed as far as the batters? Or what's the reasoning behind that? What do you believe the reasoning is behind that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's still early, obviously. I think that's mostly a result of just kind of the weirdness of the shutdown and this really short spring training. Teams only played really 3 exhibition games against opposing players. You know, at most, they played 3 games. If the pitchers, you know, they were able to throw during the shutdown. They only need a mound to get their work in, but a hitter, he's got to face major league caliber pitching, and that's in short supply. So I think the pitchers are ahead of the hitters right now. I mean, certainly strikeouts have been going up. I think it's 12 straight years that the strikeout rate has gone up. And, I mean, I would expect that continue this year, even though the universal DH will knock that down a little bit. But I think that trend will continue. I don't think that's just going to stop at some point. And just watching games, yeah, I think the pitchers are ahead of the hitters right now. And also, you know, this is just where the game is trending. You know, you're seeing more pitching changes to optimize matchups and more specialists to get out a certain kind of hitter. And those matchups are happening more. I mean, this is just I don't think it's going to be as extreme as it is right now, but, I mean, the trend is this is now or a decade now, and I have no reason to think this year will be different.
Okay, so launching off that point then, I want to just, you know, line up, throw bouquets of roses at Shane Bieber's feet. I want to pedal the runway, you know. I really do. I mean, he's been remarkable. But it's been 2 games against, you know, the Royals and then a good Twins team last night. We expect them to be a postseason team, obviously. They won the division last year. But – we just talked. Batters are behind the pitchers. How much can I get excited? How excited can Indians fans get over someone like Shane Bieber, who has put up a goose egg of zeros in back-to-back games? But in reality, I think a lot of it has to do because the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, and we'll see some of this maybe correct itself a little bit down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly get excited. I mean, the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, but nobody is really doing what Bieber's doing right now. He's kind of out on an island. You know, it's only 2 starts, but he's been great. And I think that start last night, that was certainly more impressive than, I mean, he struck out, what was it, 15 Royals? I mean, it's the Royals. Whereas last night he faced, like, an actual good lineup. And, I mean, the Twins have a great lineup. And I thought that was really impressive last night. And Bieber was, I mean, he was a prospect. He was good prospect. He wasn't considered a great prospect, but his numbers were always kind of eye-popping. But his stuff has gotten better, and he was always a really good control guy. He always threw strikes. He's just a really smart guy who knows how to make adjustments. And the Indians have such a great track record with pitcher development. I'm not completely surprised that Bieber made this big jump as, you know, when he reached the big leagues. I didn't expect him to be this good, but I'm not surprised he made a jump either. And, I mean, I think right now when, Chris Sale injured, Corey Kluber's hurt again, Verlander's hurt again. I think right now the 2 best pitchers in the American League, it's Bieber and Gerrit Cole. I think that's pretty obvious right now. And, you know, he's certainly, you know, maybe he's not going to strike out 12, 15 guys every start. But this is, you know, Shane Bieber, he's a true ace. He's one of the top 5 pitchers in the game, I think.
Wow. Bieber and Gerrit Cole. That's good company. The bullpen hasn't been as lucky for the Indians, though. Brad Hand's had a couple of rough outings. Tito went to Karinchak last night. I don't want to get too deep in the woods on it, but second half last year, hitters had 310, 383, and 500 for batting average on base and slugging against Brad Hand. I mean, they turned into a better version of Francisco Lindor, and these are, you know, Joey left fielder, you know, just basic everyday guys. Off to a rough start this year. Should Tito make it a full-time switch?
I don't think he's there yet, but I think with hands, I think there's some concern there because his velocity is down. This does date back to last season. So that's, you know, even though it is only a week, I think there has to be some concern there because he just doesn't look like Brad Hand. And you make a full-time switch, I mean, this is a 60-game season, so if you're going to make a move, you should probably do it quick because every game matters that much more. I don't know if Kurenchak's the guy there. Maybe it's Whitgren instead. But, yeah, I think, if he doesn't look better within, like, a week, I think you got to seriously consider making a switch there just because each game is so important. And even with the expanded postseason and, you know, winning this division doesn't really mean as much as it did anymore. If you settle for second place, that's fine. But you still want to get there. You don't want to really limp into the finish. And, you know, if Hand continues to look like this, yeah, I think a switch will be inevitable. I really wouldn't wait much longer than a week, but I'm not sure what the Indians are thinking there.
All right, Mike, what do you think about when you watch some of these games, the extra innings and the run around second to start off? You know, I love to go into game theory, and I love to figure out, go deep into weeds and try to figure out what was going to happen. I thought we'd see just a bunch of sack bunts, move the run over to third, hit a pop fly to center. But as we talked about with the strikeouts, those numbers being so high, that might not be the best tactical play. How have you enjoyed, if at all, have you enjoyed the new addition to the game?
I think it's been fun because it's different. I wouldn't like it as a full-time rule. I certainly understand doing it. I mean, this season, such a weird season. I mean, anything, I'm kind of fine with anything they want to do, seven doubleheader, whatever. Just, you know, just do it, play as much as you can and do it safely. But extra inning rule, I mean, watching it in the minors and also in, like, the World Baseball Classic, yeah, I expected a bunch of bunts because that's what I saw in the past with this rule. And, you know, teams, the bunt is really becoming like a lost art. Recently, you know, sack bunts have down quite a bit. The last 10 years, I think they're about half as much as they were in 2010, or last year they were half as much as they were in 2010. So it's just not a common thing anymore. And now that pitchers aren't hitting, it's basically been extinct, the bunt. And I think, you know, the runner's already on second base. It's hard enough to get a hit these days as it is. You got three chances to drive them in. Just take your shot there. I think it's kind of fun. It's different. I wouldn't want it full time. And I don't know. I don't think we'll get it full time, but you know, just the fact that it happened this year kind of opens the door a little bit that it could become permanent next year.
All right, last one. Back to the Indians, Mike. If you had a blank check and an unlimited bank account, and you were the owner of a baseball team, what number are you putting next to Francisco Lindor, and how many years are you attaching?
Yeah, I think the Mookie Betts contract, that's probably, it's a little bit rich for Lindor, but that's kind of the neighborhood there. I'm thinking 10 years, $300 million right around there. Betts didn't get as much as I thought he would before the shutdown. And so maybe $300 million is a little rich for Lindor, but I think that would be a reasonable number for him in kind of quote-unquote normal times with a normal free agency, normal financials, 10 years, $300 million. You get him through, I think, would be age 37. You get the prime of his career. I mean, he's a superstar player in every way. He's exactly the kind of guy you want to be the ambassador for your franchise. Great player, and basically every single phase, he's someone that deserves that kind of contract. See, I think 10 years, $300 million, maybe he doesn't get quite that much because revenue's down, but that's the neighborhood I think would be more than fair for Lindor.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Mike Exesa, CBS Sports MLB writer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and that is our baseball update brought to you by WOW, super fast internet.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.